Thanks for coming up, girls. Thank you so much, Janine. It is so good to see all of you this morning. I told Matt on the way in, I'm thinking we need a little bit more sunshine, so maybe by next Sunday we'll be in the sun. We are so blessed that we are free to serve God. We all have a need for acceptance. Each of us has done something or said something in the hope of gaining people's favor. Think now about what you may have done to gain someone's friendship, to gain someone's favor. I was talking to people this week. I kept saying, did you ever do anything just so that you can become friends or be part of the cool gang? And the examples that I got were the kids were jumping from a bridge into a creek. And so this fellow jumped into the creek as well, not really knowing how deep it was or how safe it was. But they were fine. But he did it because the other guys were doing it. Oh my goodness, smoking at the pool, behind the pool building, because the other kids were doing it. This person decided to do it. Or speeding a little bit quick, really quick, to show off how fast his car would go. These were all things that people had shared with me they had done in order to gain favor or in order to be like what they thought were the cool people. Switching gears, have you ever tried to earn God's approval? Maybe you said a little bit longer prayer using bigger words. Maybe you helped someone, but you did it begrudgingly. We don't need to do things extra to earn God's approval. And that's a gift. Mennonite pastor Megan Larissa Good shares in her article, "What do you really think God is like?" This is her quote. "God didn't make you because God needed a servant. God made you because God wanted kids, because God desired heirs, because God loves giving presents. You were created to be a recipient of gifts. The reason you exist is that God wanted someone to be gracious to." Amazing and true. Paul shares the doctrine in the book of Romans to provide a biblical foundation to build a right relationship with God and with others. He was on his third missionary journey for offerings to share with the poverty-stricken believers in Jerusalem when he wrote this letter that I'm going to be sharing from Romans. It is more of a theological essay, and he shares many Old Testament quotations and emphasizes Christian doctrine throughout Romans 3, 9 through 26. I'm going to be sharing right now from Romans 3, 9 to 18. "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. There I know one who understands, one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery marks their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The Jews and the Gentiles were alike under the power of sin, under the guilt of sin." Paul used the quotes from Psalms, explaining from their lips to their feet, they were unable to save themselves. Charles Spurgeon explains that Paul was encouraging readers to seek the true God. He stated, "You have gone through this form of worship, but you have not sought after God. I am sick of the empty religiousness. We see it everywhere. It is not communion with God. It is not getting to God. Indeed, God is not in all at all. The sin of the people had led to a rebellion against God. I feel we see that in today's world. Look around, open the newspaper, turn on the TV. As I read and reread verses 10 through 18 from Romans, I thought, oh my goodness. God has provided us with so many blessings beyond belief, and what have we done? I wonder if God would be crying this morning after he took a good look at the world today. Some in the past and even today may read the Old Testament and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. No, it would never apply to themselves, but it is describing them. That's not me, that's them. That's not my problem, that's their problem. That's not my good deed to do, that's their good deed to do. The Jewish and the Christians in this time truly struggled with that. Having a proper understanding of what God has done for you in Christ will affect the way you view yourself. When I was going through a divorce, and as I was retiring from public school teaching, I really lost myself. I lost my identity as a wife, and I continue to be a mom, praise God, and I lost my identity as a teacher. But I held on to the belief and the knowledge that God will bless me, and Jesus is walking with me. And I can look back now and think, I went through all of that to get me here. Truly a difficult time, but truly a blessing. Romans 3:19-26. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Yes, laws are important, and they certainly had many, many laws to follow. But they became more conscious of sin through those laws and recognized that all have sinned. Verse 21 through 26 are under the subtitle Righteousness Through Faith. And let me go back, that I needed to remember, as I was going through these life changes, not to go back and to put others down. Not to go back and say, he said, she said, I feel, the system is changing. I really had to keep my eyes on God and keep looking forward and doing the next right thing. Back to Romans. But now righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. God intended for all humans. However, no one lives a perfectly good and righteous life. All have sinned and fall short or turn away from the glory of God at some point in their lives. There are times when our thoughts and our actions do not glorify God. And sometimes in our pain, we may reject God's glory. As much as I wanted to blame the system or blame my ex-husband for everything, I needed to understand and take some responsibility for the things that perhaps I did wrong or did not understand or wasn't ready to accept the change in the public school system. A little bit tough to do. A little bit tough to say I was wrong. But my God walks with me. He walks with us. It's okay to say I'm sorry. It's okay to accept that we sin. It's a gift when we know that God forgives us and is always with us. God will declare those who put their trust in Jesus not guilty, but righteous. God's righteousness, his obedience, and his sacrificial death will be credited to believers as their own. The nature of human beings is to sin. Some may feel saved because they follow the laws of the land. This is a quote I read about the law. Laws help to gain knowledge of sin, but laws cannot save us. Even if we started today to keep the law of God, it could not make up for the past sins and present guilt. J.B. Phillips writes, "It is the strongest edge of the law that shows us how crooked we are. We may be crooked, but we are forgiven." This morning, we have read the news of God's work in Jesus Christ. A new covenant is shared with a reminder that there is uninterruptedness with God's work of the past. We become convicted to live with courage by God's righteousness through our faith in Jesus Christ. Freely, by his grace, through Christ, through faith, you are released from sin and guilt. And our salvation, the life after our salvation, the life of trust begins. I did not let that time belittle me and hurt me and make me afraid to go out into public. If I needed to say I'm sorry, I did. And I talked more about God to whoever I could talk about God to. It was just an amazing time in my life. After salvation, the life of trust begins. Trust could also mean faith, confidence, belief, assurance, conviction, positiveness. Those things will rise in your life when you don't feel good, but you trust and you believe. Faith, confidence, belief, assurance, conviction, and positiveness. Trust is always looking forward to what God will do. Did I think I would be here about 12 years ago? I would never have dreamt it. Is this truly a blessing for me? It truly is. God works every day to keep us going in the right direction. Jesus clearly shares about the generosity of God in the Sermon on the Mount. His gifts will be directed for everyone, not just a few. God will never share a gift and ask for it back. He does not want his gifts returned. Jesus shared with the disciples about the image of God that they would need to share about before they went out to the world. He encouraged persistence and boldness, assuring them that God answers prayer. Matthew 7:7-12. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." The golden rule: treat others the way you would like to be treated. We need to get that in the newspapers. We need to get that on the television news programs. This quote is from Megan Good's article. Jesus only asks such radical things of his disciples because he believes to the depths of his divine soul that God is radically good and radically generous. We are because God is. I love that. We are because God is. Because of his love, he provides daily gifts. He loves teaching us and showing us that we need not worry or use perfect words in our prayers. As believers, we need not act out of a sense of guilt to do things to gain God's acceptance. We are his children. We are free to love. We are free to pray and give and ask for his will to be done. We are free to ask for forgiveness, and we will freely receive it. Know that he is radically good and radically generous. Our relationship with God frees us to be all that he intends for us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we praise you for your loving and costly acceptance of us through Christ. You loved us enough to send Jesus to die for our sins. No matter what we may be going through, we have opportunities to do good for those around us. Allow us to be an encouragement and a blessing to the people we are with this week. Thank you for the men and women who have served in many ways to protect our world this Memorial Day. May the memories of loved ones lost, may the memories of being involved in wars and being involved in hospitals at wartime, may those memories rest easy on the hearts of the men and women who participated in the wars. You are a loving God. You walk with us. You stand with us. Allow us to hold on knowing that you are in charge and that you have our future in your hands. In all the things we do, may we do them to show your honor and to glorify you. In your precious name, amen.